welcome to our final gardener's question time. Coming from Clevedon, again, sunny Clevedon. Sunny Clevedon that is going to have powerboats zipping up and down all over the weekend. Clevedon is a town of about 22,000 people, 21,000 off the census in 2011. And rather than give you a whole lot of facts about Clevedon, I just want to give you a little bit of my heart for Clevedon, because when we talk about the glory of God, when we talk about his presence, what we're talking about is the essence of who God is. And the essence of who God is a relationship. God, our God, the Trinity, is a relationship. And therefore, his glory comes when we relate to one another. So when you connect with someone, it's our wedding anniversary, so we should be connected remember what it was? Friday. Yeah, failed spectacularly. When you connect, when you look, when you have a moment, even if it's a hug, even if I got you to hug each other now, something inside you resonates with the same thing that you were, your creator is like a chiming bell that says, that's what you're created for. And you know when your relationships are in good heart, that's what it means. That feeling of satisfaction that says, wow, this is as good as it gets, is what God intended, and that is his glory, and that is his presence. He inhabits that place. And so whenever you are building the kingdom of God, you are doing it by building relationships, by either restoring a relationship or working hard on a relationship. And I want Clevedon to be known as that town where people get on with each other. As where those churches don't fight with each other, but they actually all get together and they do stuff together. And because in Psalm 133 and verse 1, it says, where the people of God, where brothers, where people dwell in unity, how good and pleasant it is. It goes on to say, he will command a blessing. And I believe as a result of our being here as a church, and our dedication and striving to be united. The Bible says, make every effort to keep the bond of peace, the unity amongst you. It doesn't say, do it, make every effort to be right. It doesn't say, make every effort to be understood or to be justified or to be, or whatever. It says, make every effort to be unified. What that means, that word means is, when you go into a situation, be ready to be in one with the other person. How many situations would be better for you if you said, you know what, I don't know what the situation is, but whatever Joan wants to do, that's what I'm doing. Giving you the heads up there, Brian. But then Joan would say, you know what, whatever Brian wants to do, that's what I want to do. I'm going to make that my priority. That is what the Godhead is doing. Rather than, I'm going to find out what Joan wants to do, and then if I agree with it, I might join her in unity. As long as she does a bit of what I want as well, because that's got to be fair, isn't it? We're not talking about fairness. We're talking about unity. We're talking about each one of us. And so as we've done that in the churches, there's all sorts of things we could get our nose out of joint about the churches, but we haven't and we don't. God commands a blessing. This school, its GCSE results from A star to C, including maths and English, are up 10% because... And I believe it's a direct result because this school is doing what we're doing. That logo there, which is, you know, uncannily like the Trinity, is about a connection. It's about a learning partnership. So they're connecting with other schools and they're working together and they're forming a trust and they're saying, we don't want to do this on our own, we want to do this together. And they're helping those who are struggling. And I want that to be seen as a benchmark, because God will bless them because of it. And in every area of the town, I want us to do stuff together, because when we do it together, it doesn't matter whether they know Jesus or not. There's something in them that resonates from the creation of the Father. And it's my heart that Clevedon is known as the place where the glory of God dwells, where people arrive and they go, I don't know why it feels like this, but something feels different here, and the people are different here, and it's tangible. And so, you know, even though I live in Yatton, my heart really is for Clevedon, and my heart is for this community, for the crime to be going down, for there to be blessing upon blessing, for there to be jobs and in, you know, industrial estates full of people, for their shops to thrive and survive, there not to be a ghost town down the middle. That is the blessing of God, you know? And anyway, I get carried away. So we have our last question times panel, and what we said last week is that we were going to answer some of the more difficult questions that you have asked, and these are questions that you have actually asked. So I'm going to ask Emily to come and join me, and Kelly and Dad. Take a seat, Emily. You can come on this side, and we're balanced up. Excellent. These guys are all very nervous, well, probably not Dad, but they have said, yes, you know what, I want to do it, and I really appreciate that. So, excellent. So, we need someone to run around. Can my fabulous assistant do that? So, who's got the first question?
Tom. Hi, my name's Tom.
Do you want to stand up, Tom, so we can see you?
Sorry about that.
Gorgeous. Don't milk it.
I've got a nice question here. Some people say that if you talk to plants, it helps them grow, but you don't know if it's working. Personally, I've talked to plants. They haven't talked back to me, I'll tell you that one. When I talk to God, I never really know if it's working. I'm not sure if he can hear me, or if I'm doing it, or if I'm right, or if he talks back.
Yes, I never really know when I talk to God if it's working, or I'm not sure if I'm doing it right. That's a real question from someone, and it's a real, you can sense the, you know, the heartache of both God and us. So let's put Kelly out of her misery. Why don't you go and tell us a bit about yourself, Kelly? What do you do? Who are you?
Who
How many
I?
Kids are you? Why are you here?
I don't know why I'm here. Yeah, I'm Kelly. I've been coming to live in Waters for about 6-7 years now. I work for the food bank in Clevedon. Got two little ones, Caleb and Ella, the blondie ones, if you don't know. Yeah. I don't believe there is necessarily a right or wrong way to speak to God. I just believe that he wants a relationship with us. So however we come to talk to him, it doesn't necessarily matter so much. I believe that there is times where we have to kind of take ourselves away and not be disturbed. But He just really wants that relationship. So however you come to him, it's okay. He knows how you're going to come to him already, because he knows exactly what you're going to say, how you're going to say it. He knows you better than you know yourself. And I always try and keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate things. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. However you come to talk to him, he's more than happy for it to be that way.
Emily.
Hi, I'm Emily. I have been coming to Living Waters since I was 8, on and off, because I've been in different countries, and I love it. Just throw that one in there.
I love it.
Yeah, Kelly didn't say it, she didn't mean it.
Who loves it the most?
I don't garden, but, I mean, it looks pretty, so that's fine. But yeah, my answer is really similar to Kelly's. I don't think there is a wrong way to do it. And I think, yeah, God's a creative God and he knows how we work. And I think everyone responds differently to different things. And we were actually a couple of months ago in True Colours Crew talking about speaking to God and asking the kids how they heard from God. And one of them was saying how they see God in nature. And so we all went outside and he immediately found a leaf in the shape of a heart and told everyone what God was saying through this leaf. And we went back inside and then one of the other kids was saying about a poem that they'd written that God was speaking to them through. And yeah, I believe that he speaks to us in completely different ways. But also it's kind of, it's a faith step that you don't necessarily, you know, you can speak to someone and not always know if they're going to hear you. But when thinking about this, I was reminded of Hebrews 11:1, where it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see." And we don't necessarily see God standing in front of us when we're speaking to him, but it's a faith to know that he is there. And like Kelly said, he loves us enough to want to be in relationship with us and want to speak to us.
I'm Charles. I've been here since day one. And
you win.
I just do what the Lord directs me to do. We're in and spend time with family and friends. And so that's me talking to God. Emily said, it's faith. The thing is this, that when we talk to God, it is an act of faith, of knowing that he hears us. And when we hear from him, we can hear from him in all different ways, just like the leaf that you said. I think that's great. And, when we come to know Jesus, and when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a consciousness of his presence. However, it isn't always exactly the same. We don't always, sometimes, we're in a situation maybe like today, we're worshipping the Lord, just you feel his presence. There may be times when kind of something has gone wrong, you don't feel his presence, I have a warning thing that's come onto my car which tells me my tires aren't all right. Now, when I see that, I don't feel happy. I just feel, what's wrong with this wretched car? Now, there are times things in our... But God is no less real when the warning sign comes onto my car than the warning doesn't come onto my car. And I think talking and hearing from God is something you do all the time. And the more we do it, we never stop doing it. I just was thinking of... there's a golfer called Gary Player, and someone was saying to him, "Hey, you play real well." I said, it just seems that all the luck goes with you. When you hit that putt, it goes in. He said, "I just discovered the more I practice, the luckier I am." And I just sense the more I talk to God, the more I seem to hear what he has to say. So my response to the question is just keep at it, because God keeps listening. And the more you do it, somehow or other, the more you'll hear.
80% of people in churches who are wanting to hear God lack confidence. 80%. So that's just about all of us, okay? So not worrying about it helps. Think of someone who you have a good relationship with and you get on well with. Do you always hear what they've got to say? Do you always hear it accurately? Do you always understand it? It doesn't stop you being their friend. It doesn't stop you having a connection. So slightly lightening up on yourself about, is it God? Was it God? Actually, relax, and it will happen, as it's been said. Second question. Who's got a second question? I was doing something else this morning, and I was running around with questions. I haven't got a clue who's got them. So Dave's got one.
Morning. Everybody here knows it's Clevedon Flower Show. Yes? Oh. Anyone been there? Oh, good. You've seen some exhibitions.
Did you win?
Of course.
What did you win?
Sue said, "Cool, I love the size of your onions." And I got a first.
First in the onions?
And the potatoes.
And the potatoes.
But the important one is Sue and I both have allotments at Moor Lane. And we entered a load of fruit and vegetables and flowers for the inter-allotment competition. And Moor Lane won.
Yeah!
Another first. That's 3 out of 3, Dan.
Beautiful, mate. The cream rises to the top.
It actually means a lot of hard work, because there's a lot of rubbish that we collect, from the allotment. And we used to have sort of 2, 3, or 4 bags, maybe, from rubbish, going out to green waste. And more recently, we had, I think, 11. Because Sue got her allotment and that sort of double the intake as well. Yeah. I often wonder if they're not going to take the bags because the allotment's all clay soil, so all the weeds come up with a bundle of soil, you know, and the bags are so heavy. I always think, will they be there after they come in the morning? But they've always gone. Anyway, a more serious sort of note here. This is something that could affect anybody, children or anyone, any stage of life, neighbours, working. So these questions, I don't know if Daniel's going to answer this, but yeah, let's get Daniel to answer some as well. When someone is a bully, what do you do? How do you cope with the damage they do to you? And why should you forgive those who hurt you?
Good question. Good question. I'll get someone else to answer it. I'll come back. Why don't we start with Dad?
Bullying. It happens at every stage of life. It can happen at every stage. The first thing I think you need to understand is that the bully is a very needy person. That they're very sad. And in fact, they probably need more help than you do. So don't think that they're the people who've got it all together when you haven't. First thing about a bully is almost they need to be pitied. Second thing about a bully is what they're saying is lies. And when we have lies, you know, we talk about the devil's lies. You know, without having anybody, the devil can lie to us. Do you know what I mean? You don't need another person to have the devil's lies coming and telling you all sorts of negative things about yourself. And so the things about bullying is that they're lies. And you need to reject them immediately they're spoken, you know? Any lie that we get from the devil, the first thing we need to say is, devil, that's not true. And if somebody says something who is trying to bully you, you may not say it verbally to them. The first thing you do is turn away and say, what that person said is not true. But they are a very sad person and they need to be forgiven. Because if you don't forgive them, you suffer. The great thing about unforgiveness is that if you give it, you set yourself free. If you don't give it, you make a prisoner of yourself. And there are people going around with bitterness and all sorts of resentment towards people. The person with the bitterness and resentment, they're the sufferer. The person who's caused it doesn't even know that they haven't been forgiven. But when you forgive them, you set them free. Now, of course, you know, we haven't got the kids here. Sometimes the whole thing in school is, you know, people need to know if someone's acting wrongly. But that's obviously what folks are being told as young people. But, you know, bullying does happen at every stage of life. And I believe that God will help us to get through.
I've actually experienced bullying from a previous boss. And it went on for a long time, and I moved on from the job, but I carried the insecurity with me. And I prayed and asked God to help me forgive this person. But every time I heard their name or saw them, the feeling I felt wasn't forgiveness. So I asked for a compassionate heart. I asked God to give me compassion for them, and it literally switched the emotions from the negativity I felt to a compassionate heart really quickly. And it was truly amazing, because suddenly, as I saw that, you know, as Charles was saying, God gave me a bit of an insight into their lives, and it was really, really sad what I saw. And I couldn't really be angry with them anymore because of what God had shown me. So I would encourage people to ask for compassion for them, because it will. It makes a big difference.
Thanks, Mike.
Pretty much all the same words. But I think there can be so many reasons why people bully. And one thing that has kind of changed my thinking since doing Pure Love and being around people that live out those principles is to ask the question why. And exactly like Kelly said, why are they doing it? What's going on for them? You know, why are they targeting me? Or, you know, just asking that why question, because God gives you insight. He really, really does. And he, like exactly like Kelly just said, he gives you something that you would never have got if you had just sat there going, well, I'm feeling hurt and I'm feeling, you know, damaged by this person. But to deal with the damage, I surround myself with people who love me, which I'm really fortunate to have, but also ask God to show me my identity again. And go, God, who am I? You know, who did you design me to be? Because knowing that makes me know that, you know, I'm good. I'm a good person, and I know that he loves me, and I know that others love me. And exactly like Charles said, you forgive them because otherwise you hurt. And when you're ready, you show them what real love looks like, because by the sounds of it, at that point they haven't seen it. And going back again and again when they're feeling hurt and they're attacking you, and going, it's okay. Do you know what? I get my love from God, and I know that he loves me, so I'm going to love you.
Yeah, excellent. Sometimes forgiveness is mistaken for saying, it's okay. Someone says, oh, I'm sorry, and you say, oh, that's okay. It's not okay. That's not the words we respond to. It is, I forgive you, but it did hurt. It does hurt, and what you're doing is damaging me. I don't believe that forgiveness particularly surpasses being in a continually abusive relationship. Jesus, God does not ask you to walk back into that and just take it and constantly go round and round. So if you are suffering from ongoing abuse of that sort, you need to actually get that sorted out and get yourself moved out of that situation. That doesn't mean you don't forgive, but sometimes people say, oh, well, you know, the church just told me to go back and just take it, you know, and that's not God, what God is asking. I think the hardest thing for parents is when these little ones, who are absolute darlings and you are completely unique, go to school for the first time, and you put them into that playground and you watch them walk across the playground and you see some big lump come across and just knock them over. And as a parent, all you want to do is climb into that playground, walk through, pick that other kid up and drop kick him over the hedge. But you don't, because you've been DBS'd and you want to work in, you know, you don't want, but everything in you kind of goes, is screaming, you don't do that to my kid. And that's what God is shouting when you're being bullied. Don't do that to my kid. Except that he can't dictate. And sometimes a lot of our prayers are things that he can't do. God, why don't you just come down and sort this out? That's not how it works. Sometimes the example I've been given is, if this cup is full of sweets, the world takes your sweets. That's just what the world does. People steal from you. They take from you. They hurt you. That they take the things that are valuable to you. And you can say to God, stop them doing it. Please stop them doing it. And he can't. But what he can say is, you know what? I've got an endless supply of sweets. So it doesn't matter how many people take, I will always fill your cup up. And when you know that, and you know that connection, then you say, well, go on then, take some. I've got plenty. I've always, and coming back to that identity, if you know who you are, no one will convince me that I'm not married to Tanya. You can talk, you can tell me, you can taunt, but I know. That's what I know, and no one will convince me of it. No one will convince you, and that's the same. The identity, once you've got that sorted, a lot of this stuff doesn't just bounces off you because you think, well, that's not true. Boom. Excellent. Third question. Who's got our third question? Ben.
Hi, I'm Ben. I still dislike gardening since the last time answering this question.
How many bags have you put out? What's the maximum number of green bags?
Two.
He's just not making an effort, is he? Every gardener knows. Two?
Yeah, but I have a book now, so...
Oh, well, that's okay then.
That could change everything. Yeah, yeah. You never know. So, what happens during times when you feel separated from God? Have you ever had times when you thought, what's it all about when the enemy attacks you?
Excellent. Start at this end.
Another easy one.
Yeah. I did say they were a bit challenging.
You didn't. You don't not.
Oh, you weren't around.
I was out with the kids when you asked. Anyway, praise the Lord.
But you're still hunting Pokemons while you're doing it. So, I mean, it's good, you know.
I'm winning. I don't know. I kind of feel like everyone kind of goes through a time when they question God. And there was a time when I felt separated from God. And I was going through quite a lot. And to be honest, the main part of it was that I was looking inward. And I was going, oh, I can't do this. Or this is too difficult. Or I'm not this. Or I'm not that. And I remember going to a worship evening and standing there and trying to muster up some sort of godly experience when I was, you know, Jesus, talk to me, do something, and nothing was happening. And I felt so discouraged. And I remember sitting down just among people and kind of almost giving up. And I felt God say to me, close your eyes. And so I closed my eyes and I've been praying to him, going, God, I just want to hear you say something to me. And I felt God say, just listen to yourself breathing. And so I was breathing in and breathing out, and I was just listening to myself breathing. And in that quiet, while there was music going on around me, and all I was focusing on was breathing, God spoke to me. And he first spoke to me about the ring that I wear, which has got three bands that kind of interloop. And he said, that's like the Trinity, we're constantly wrapped around generally, and we're constantly with you. And then he said to me, he gave me the verse, he said, do not be afraid, I've called you by name, for you are mine. And then he gave me the verse Isaiah 43. And that was it. And I was so excited. And I remember going home and speaking to my housemate about it and going like, oh, I heard God, and got, you know, over the top. And I'd forgotten that he'd given me this verse. And I then went back and I read it. And the verse says, do not be afraid, I've redeemed you, I've called you by name, and you are mine. When you go, when you're in over your head, I will be with you. When you're in rough waters, I will not let you down. When you're in between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, and I paid a huge price for you. And for me, from that moment, when I feel times when I'm feeling separated from God or I feel under attack, they are words that I hold on to. They are that foundation for me that I go, no. He has called me by name because I am his. And for me, it was that moment of going, I know what God said to me and I know what he's spoken over me. And I think it's knowing and going back to God and going, God, what are you saying about me? What have you spoken over my life? Because they're the things that you can really hold on to in those times.
Excellent. Oh, yes. Kelly, yeah. Follow that.
Got to follow that one.
Yeah.
Well, I just think we need to remember that God never separates himself from us. So when that does happen, you know, we start to do things in our own strength. You know, we become worried, we become anxious. And that's when we just need to reconnect. And I think if we can recognize when the enemy is attacking us, because we know that when things aren't working out and things are negative, that's not God, that's the enemy. We can do something about it. And it's just about going, as Daniel says, going back to the source, reconnecting. And, you know, Emily was saying about, was it Isaiah? Okay. Yeah, you know, knowing the word of God is key. It's key, isn't it? Yeah.
It's just, at times you kind of feel dull, you just feel kind of everything's a bit sort of heavy and miserable around you. It's almost like kick-starting things. Sometimes we need something like praise and worship. Sometimes you need to find a track on a CD or something which really speaks to you, put it on as loud as you can, and basically allow the word of God to just kind of overwhelm you. Do you know what I mean? I remember I had a track called The Truth Still Marches On, and it's a kind of a very, very sort of, you know, very rich, sort of strong, you know. And you think, I put that on, and it's all about the truth setting you free. Do you know what I mean? And at the end of that one, you just kind of change. I remember a few weeks ago, it was one of those kind of days when you just feeling kind of just a bit sort of heavy about everything. And we suddenly realized that Craig had got a bunch of DVDs that actually had come from Kenneth Copeland Ministries of their conference, and we just pulled one of these DVDs out and stuck it in the in the player and just listen to this message. And, you know, we weren't feeling like it, you know. Do I want to listen to some nice preaching? No. You know, I really want to be miserable. But let's just give this a go. And, you know, by the time we got to the end, we thought, great. You know, there's a certain, and it, just one of the things that, you know, I've been teaching this for years and years and years, about like the song in the morning. You know, I say to people, when you wake up, that's the time that worries overwhelm you. That's when you need to sing praises. You know, stand in the shower and just let God give you a song. He'll give you one. And, you know, then you do the singing of the song rather than misery about the day. It actually works better than being miserable. And it's just a very simple thing, standing in the shower, singing in a song, which came, you know, it'd been a song you probably learned 10 years ago, and you haven't sung it in church for years and years and years, but this God's song for the day. And it, again, it just reconnects you, because God is never, he's never off duty.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we heard from Hebrews, it's a faith. That's what we are. We're people of faith, and therefore, sometimes we're just looking for constant, absolute certainty about everything. And God's saying, "No, it's going to be a walk of faith. You've got to keep believing." Other times we want feelings. Oh, I don't feel him. I feel him at church. I feel him at this, and that's when, yeah, you need the Word of God that says, "Okay, despite that." Sometimes, you know, I know my house. You know, you can get around it when the lights are on real easy, but you try and do it at night when it's pitch dark and you're crashing into everything. You need to know God well enough so that when the lights are out, you can't see it, when the fog's around, you can still do the things that you know to do and put them in place and walk out of it. And but yeah, I don't think it's wrong, and it's not wrong to share with others, to say, you know what, I'm struggling, and that's why we need each other. To be able to pray for one another and not condemn one another. Oh, I've never had a doubt in my life, you know. God's always been there. Well, it's probably not what they need to hear. They need to hear, hey, you know what, I'm up at the moment, so how about you hold on to me and we'll get through this. And then when I'm down, you can hold on to me and we'll get through this. And that's why, you know, the Bible says two will put 10,000 to flight, yeah, because actually we're designed to not do it on our own. We're designed to do it together with others. And it's not just me and God. It's me, God, and me and others following that. So, yeah. Next question. Who's got our next question? I don't know if anyone has got our next question, actually. Number four. Is there I may have not... Mandy's got it. Oh, you got five. Good. Let's go with five. Four's on that chair, and I meant to give it to Tanya. But, because she arrived late, I wasn't able to. That's what I thought. Sorry, Mandy. We'll finish our domestic and you can answer your question.
Hi, I'm Mandy, and I've been here since January 2000. I don't have a garden. But I have a Charlie, a bonsai trio called Charlie.
Mm, and nice.
I don't like the idea of trying to train him with wires or anything, so I just keep him trim. But he gets watered now and again and fed. And, but I love trees anyway, so I love looking around at trees.
Do you have teeny weeny little green bags full of the clippings that you put out on the side for the sort of pixie recyclers to pick up?
No, I just put it in the food bin.
I'm sure that's okay as well.
But I do enjoy walking around and looking at other people's gardens when I'm walking somewhere and just thanking God for the creation of it all. Right, my question is, how do you keep in touch with God and how do you trust in God? What do you do if you're asking him to connect with you but you don't think he is?
Yeah, good question. It kind of follows on a little bit from what we're saying. You know, sometimes our answer to all this is connect with God, but for some people it's like, yeah, but I'm doing that, nothing's happening. So how do you personally do that? How do you encourage others to do that? I know we've said some of those answers, but it's a slightly different one. Yes.
I have to start the day, as Charles was saying, you know, I find the mornings, the time, as soon as I wake up, just feel the pressure of the day upon me. So I made a conscious, it was a real conscious decision, and it does take effort to take the joy every morning, not the frustration of the kids, trying to get them out the door for school, although it does come. I just want the joy. I want the enjoyment of them. I want the enjoyment of life. But you do have to consciously take it. You have to ask for it, you have to receive it, and you have to want it. And that's how I start. I have to start my day like that. Yeah. It all goes downhill.
I think when, you know, if we've been praying for something, or if a situation has kind of, you know, gone wrong sort of permanently, I mean, there are people who pray for to get healed and they die. And that is really very disappointing. And I haven't got a full answer to that. But I do know that God doesn't change. And I know he loves me. And I know he's for me. And on those times when, you know, something has happened, I mean, there's a guy called Ray Gowdy. He's been he was battling for 18 months with cancer, and he died a few weeks ago. And there have been hundreds of people really praying for him. And, you know, I really was believing that he would be coming right through. And he's in the presence of Jesus, which is a great place to be. And I feel a disappointment. I have to be honest about that. But I'm not blaming God, because I actually know God is... I don't understand God completely. And so you come back to God and say, God, I know you're loving, I know you're kind. I know I didn't get the answer to this prayer, but I know it hasn't changed you. And I'm not stopping trusting you, because I got a disappointment. One of these days I'll be up there and I'll have a few questions for you. I'll know you'll have the right answer, but in the meantime, I'm going to trust you.
Yeah, I personally am really quite bad at sitting down and reading my Bible at a certain time, or at all actually, and I get really sleepy and then find myself waking up a couple of minutes later feeling that I didn't quite do anything with that time. I find myself talking to God throughout the day, just in general. So while I'm at work or when I'm driving or kind of wherever, and just keeping connection with him like that, because, like I said, I believe he knows how I work, and he knows I get super sleepy just sitting down, you know, trying to read or trying to do something. So he speaks to me through different ways. But there was one really practical way, actually, that when I first started trying to connect with God and trying to figure out how to hear him, that a friend of mine said, well, why don't you ask him some questions? And so I remember going outside and sitting on the grass and saying, okay, God, closing my eyes and going, where are we? And God said to me, we're in a field. And I said, okay. And I said, God, what are we doing? And he said, we're playing a game. And I said, okay. What game are we playing? And he said, we're playing hide and seek. And so, again, I said, well, why? And he said, because no matter how far you run, I will always chase you. And for me, it was that kind of practice of going, okay, God, I'm going to connect with you, and I believe you're going to answer me. And just taking the first thing that came into my head, which I do believe is majority of the time, that's God saying, speaking to you. And to not, like Daniel said, not question it and go like, oh, I don't know if that was him or not. But going, okay, I'm going to write it down anyway. And going back to that later and going, actually, no, do you know what? That was God. That definitely was him. And like a muscle, when you're learning to build a muscle, it takes time, and you have to keep working at it until it grows and it gets easier to lift something or easier to hear God. But I do think it goes back to that Hebrew verse of it's faith. It's knowing that he wants to connect with you and having the faith to listen and to know that he's speaking back to you.
Yeah. I mean, the reason that people are struggling with this is because this is the most important thing. The enemy has got no problems with you turning up to church, not believing you can have a connection with God at all, not hear from him, not talk to him, sing songs and go home. That's fine. He's got no problems with you doing that. You do that all day long and you're not going to get any hassle. The moment you start saying, you know what, I think I'm going to connect to God to get some resources from him that then I can start to love others and prove that he's alive because his love is flowing through me. Well, no, we don't want that. We don't want a Christian connected to God. That was his whole point from the Garden of Eden onwards. We don't want mankind connected to God because then they will have power that is greater than what they currently have. And, you know, the Bible clearly says, you know, it's not about performing in the right way. That whole kind of thing where it says, oh, we disconnect and then we come and back. And sometimes our songs even say the wrong things. Oh, God, you know, I really draw your presence here. I come closer to you when I'm far from you. And think, you're not ever that. He's not ever a long way away. You're not ever, you know, it's the enemy who's constantly saying, oh, God doesn't, if you know, you can't go back to God now. Look what you've done. That he constantly wants to challenge that. And so that you can have a confidence that actually there's something in it. And keep persevering with it and keep working at it. And say to others who you see you have got a connection, how are you doing that? And acknowledge when you know you've disconnected. You know, when you haven't got any resources, oh, hold on a minute. That feeling, that empowerment, that strength that I was receiving has gone. And so the lesson that we're learning together is how to do that. It's not about necessarily pointing out when people are disconnected, unless they ask you to, and say, if you feel like I'm disconnected from God and not being full of his grace and fruits of the Spirit, would you tell me? If I ask you to do that, then feel free to tell me. But you know, sometimes we recognize it, and then it's how quickly we can get back and what we do to do that. And that is different things in different ways. It's not wrong to fall. It's not wrong to slip up. It's not wrong to get it wrong, but we get back up again. And we've kind of run out of time. What was your question, Tanya? Because having tormented you so, I feel bad now if I said, no, we won't have that question.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so my question...
No, we won't have that question, thanks.
Why are you such an ass? That's my question. No.
Answers on a postcard to Tanya. Okay, limit it to one side of A4, please.
What do you do when someone you are helping doesn't really want to change out of this situation, but they still want your help?
Oh, hello, kids. Come back in. We're running a little bit late. What do you do if you're trying to help someone and they don't want to change, but they still want you to help them? Let's go quickly. We'll go there.
You just keep being a friend is actually saying the truth to somebody, and even if they don't take any notice of what you say, I've told you what I believe you need to hear. Even though you don't take any notice of me, I'm still your friend. Yeah. And I think that is the best way to actually make it through with folks. You don't reject people just because they reject your wonderful words of wisdom.
I think that just because we don't see the change, it doesn't mean they're not changing.
Yeah, good point.
And we just need to remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that if they're not in a place to receive it right now, you, like Charles said, you tell them the truth and you do it out of a place of love and that you want to see them change because you care for them, but you continue to love them regardless because they're going to get there one day and you will have been there the whole time to see it.
Absolutely. Sometimes you've got to ask, is this my idea or God's idea? I think they should stop doing this and start doing that. And they, uncannily, are usually things that you're quite good at. So people who like getting up in the morning and reading the Bible a lot, uncannily tend to say, what you should do is get up in the morning and read the Bible a lot. But the question is, what is God asking that person to do? Because that's the important thing. What is he asking them to do? Oh, well, they don't know what God's saying because they don't hear from him. Okay, well, then before we give any advice, let's see if we can get them connected to him. And then when they say, you know what, I think God might be asking me to stop doing this, or to, well, I want to support you with that. And, you know, sometimes, yeah, that conditional friendship that says, if you behave in a certain way, I'll continue to be your friend is very unhealthy. We've never seen anything different because we've lived in this world for a very long time. But that's not what a friendship is. It's what Dad says. It's the fact that you, yeah, you're willing to talk it out and be honest, but you're still going to not, I'm not going to ever going to reject you. It doesn't matter if you change or you don't change. I'm not going to reject you. That's a challenge. How do you do that? Well, you only do that with God's help. But quite often you've got to say, we're answering questions for people that they aren't asking. You know, when someone says, oh, I told such and such so many times they should do this. Did they ever ask you what you thought? No, but it's obvious, isn't it? It's obvious that if they stop doing that, well, maybe you should just shut up and be their friend. And then maybe they'll trust you enough to take a little bit of your advice. But people can tell quite quickly whether you genuinely are a friend. And how? What if God did that? If we didn't take his advice and change, and he just left us. But he doesn't. Hallelujah. Give this panel a round of applause.